Spirit of life and love, God. As we stand at the crossroads and we think about our past and we think about our future, and we think about how much we've lost and how much we've gained, let us be thankful for all of these things. Create a life within us and around us that gives us meaning. Meaning for joy. Meaning for heartbreak. Meaning for love. Love of ourself. Love of one another. Love of this crazy blue-green ball that we call home. We thank you today, tomorrow, next month, next year. Let us live. Let us live and have the eyes of a child, the ears of a child, the faith of a child. This is what I pray for us to find, to have, and to hold. May it be so. Blessings. Amen. As we begin another new year, wowzer. One of the things that always shocks me about a new year is I was born in 1960, and so it's really easy to tell how old I'm going to be by the last two numbers of the year. This year I'm going to be 55. AARP has been stalking me since 45, so I think they're going to get me this year. And I invite you to rejoice in this moment. We have arrived at the crossroads of our past and our future. Here in this moment, we have all the possibilities and opportunities lying right here in front of us. It is at the turning of the new year that we acknowledge this crossroads. But I believe that we are at this place of new beginnings far more than we are not. Every moment, actually. But that's another sermon. Yet here we are. And we take stock of those important endings and beginnings that occurred over the last year. In this moment of reflection and resolution, I wonder, whom do we need to forgive? Whom do we need to love? Whom do we need to be at peace with to be able to move forward in our lives? And to ground those questions, I go just a step further, and I wonder, why do we need to feel at peace at all? Realizing the why is usually the most important place to start. I wonder why I might need to seek peace in my life. Why do any of us need to seek peace in our life? In truth, my heart aches when I see the violence in the world that is rampant. Violence, fighting, murder, war, front and center, and accelerating at an alarming rate. I cringe at the incivility among neighbors. We find it all too readily in Sudbury and Metro West. And I worry about us and how easy it is to lose faith and become a willing cynic. Far too easy. I wonder if cynicism is a type of armor that we wear to protect ourselves from being hurt over and over and over again. What it seems to me is that our society, in large measure, has lost perspective. Our moral compass spins wildly out of control, and thus it makes it hard for one to determine the right, best direction. So we stand or we sit, kind of paralyzed, uncertain, looking, going. My heart aches at the death, destruction, exploitation that I read in the news. And I think of Harvey Cox's words. We had a conversation a couple of years ago, which he talked about and explained that God of the Israelites, as Nietzsche would confirm, is dead. And that is no longer the focus of humankind, but that humanity and society has shifted its focus and worship to, of all things, Wall Street, where brokers are considered to be gods, and capitalism, consumerism, is our religion. I was horrified. And yet, I walked away thinking, yeah. Yeah. How can one find peace if our prayer is for the accumulation of more? Is it possible to find peace with a perspective that is so askew? In a world where there are rich who are so rich, and there are poor who are so poor. And we wonder where the violence comes from as it blossoms out of hunger and frustration and fear. How do we know what is right and what is wrong? And I think that is a much bigger question altogether. Yet, in spite of it all, I remain optimistic because I believe in you and me. And our commitment to uncovering and finding answers. Not the answers, but answers that might help us find our way. And I pause at the crossroads and I stare at that whirl of that compass. And I imagine that we all might like to find a place where there is peace and there is balance. A place where people are accepted, nurtured, and loved for who they are and what they bring to this world. But how can we find peace in the world if we struggle to find peace in our hearts? If we are cynical or forget our faith? And as I reminded you a couple of weeks ago, I'm not talking faith of something that is beyond our grasp. I'm talking about faith in tangible reality. Faith in one another. Faith that humanity can get it right. That is what being Unitarian Universalist is all about, and has been for centuries, that we believe that people can get it right. And so, we begin again. I turn to my favorite old adage, shared by Alexander Graham Bell, who explained that when one door closes, another opens. But we often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the one that has opened for us. In this moment, we have doors open all around us. And we may not even realize that they exist. I invite you to let go of what has been and embrace what might be. The words of Rainer Maria Rilke help me to anchor my faith. The hour is striking so close above me, so clear and sharp that all my senses ring with it. I feel it now. There's a power in me to grasp and give shape to my world. I know that nothing has ever been real without my beholding it. All becoming has needed me. My looking ripens things, and they come toward me to meet and be met. Rilke, a poet, the late 19th and early 20th centuries, considered this little piece of wisdom a prayer, inspired by a visit to Russia in 1899. He was compelled by a simple communal spirituality that he discovered there. It was a time of serfs becoming the people, big ideas and revolution. After his trip, Rilke went to Germany, bringing the desire for a simple life of a cloistered monastic monk with him. Wearing peasant clothing, he was compelled to write his Book of Hours, Love Poems to God. In this short piece, he speaks of the power to grasp and give shape to his world. He's ecstatic. He's inspired by what he has encountered in the world around him. Why? Why? What is it inside of him or inside of any of us that ignites a spark and quickens our breath, that compels us forward into the next moment, and then the next moment, and then the next moment? That spark cultivated into a flame burning within can propel us to defy the odds. It can ache like a nagging pull at our mind. Is it love? It can ache. Is it God? Or something else? Why does one seek to be inspired, especially when our hearts are breaking? Richard Branson, entrepreneurial billionaire, head of the Virgin Group, think music and airlines, at the age of 16, struggled through school with dyslexia and poor academic performance. And on his last day at school, his headmaster told him he would either end up in prison or become a millionaire. Branson shared these words on January 2nd, just this last Friday, as a reminder to us. Don't betray your dreams for the sake of fitting in. Dreaming is one of humanity's greatest gifts. It champions aspiration, spurs innovation, leads to change, and propels the world forward. We should all dream and encourage others to do so too. In a world without dreams, there would be no art. No adventure, no moon landing, no female CEOs, and no civil rights. What a half-lived and tragic existence we would have. Don't be self-conscious about dreaming or about people thinking you're too idealistic and not serious enough. I worry about that often. Don't allow your self-talk to be judgmental. Look at the world with wide-eyed enthusiasm. Believe you are more powerful than the problems that confront you, and dream big. Dream big. Believe you are more powerful than the problems that control you, and dream big. Juxtapose Branson's reminder with Rilke's prayer. I feel it now. There is a power in me to grasp and give shape to my world. Inspiration resides in our dreams, even in the face of cynicism, I believe that it is our love and respect and our support and enthusiasm for one another that propels us forward to achieve our dreams when our inspiration and enthusiasm runs thin. It is the hope for better and another's hand on our shoulder and a kind word shared that reminds us that we can, in fact, do it. Do it. We live in a critical world where feedback hurts more than it helps sometimes, because it does not bolster our self-worth. It actually separates us and categorizes us and in large measure makes us less than. What would the world look like if all were truly welcome and valued for what he or she might bring just as they are? Can we do this as we stand at the crossroads? Can we support and bolster up others and ourselves? And can we unplug from negative self-talk? I mean, how many people do negative self-talk? Yeah, I do it, right? Come on. I know a lot of you didn't raise your hands, but I know you do it. It's okay. It's okay. That's the first step, to admit that you've got a problem with self-talk negatively. My New Year's resolution is this: change your self-talk and change your life. Change your self-talk. Change your life. I'd like to share a story about a vacationing American businessman, which I thought was kind of an oxymoron. But anyways, standing on a pier of a quaint coastal fishing village in southern Mexico, he watched as a small boat with just one young Mexican fisherman pulled into the dock. Inside the small boat were several large yellowfin tuna. Enjoying the warmth of the early afternoon sun, the American complimented the young man on the quality of his fish. "How long did it take you to catch them?" the American casually asked. "Oh, a few hours," the fisherman replied. "Why don't you stay out longer and catch more fish?" the businessman then asked. The young man warmly replied, "With this, I have more than enough to meet my family's needs." The businessman then became serious. "But what do you do with the rest of your time?" Responding with a smile, the fisherman answered, "I sleep late, play with my children, watch ball games, and take siesta with my wife. Sometimes in the evenings, I take a stroll into the village to see my friends, play guitar, sing a few songs." The businessman impatiently interrupted, "Look, I have an MBA from Harvard, and I can help you to be more profitable. You can start by fishing several hours longer every day. You can then sell the extra fish you catch. With the extra money, you can buy a bigger boat. With the additional income that larger boat will bring, before long you can buy a second boat, then a third one, and so on, until you have an entire fleet of fishing boats." Proud of his own sharp thinking, he excitedly elaborated, a grand scheme of which could bring even bigger profits. This is what he said: "Then, instead of selling your catch to the middleman, you'll be able to sell your fish directly to the processor, or even open your own cannery. Eventually, you could control the product, processing, and distribution. You could leave this tiny coastal village and move to New York, to Mexico City, or possibly even Los Angeles or New York City, where you could even further expand your enterprise." Having never thought of such things, the Mexican fisherman asked, "But how long will all that take?" After a rapid mental calculation, the Harvard MBA pronounced, "Probably about 15 to 20 years, maybe less if you work really hard." "And then what, senor?" asked the fisherman. "Why, that's the best part of all," answered the businessman with a laugh. "When the time is right, you would sell your company stock to the public and become very rich. You would make millions." "Millions, really? What would I do with it all?" asked the young fisherman in disbelief. The businessman boasted, "Then you could happily retire with all your money you've made. You could move to a quaint coastal fishing village where you could sleep late, play with your grandchildren, watch ball games, and take siesta with your wife. You could stroll to the village in the evenings where you could play guitar and sing with your friends all you want." At the crossroads, what would you do if you were the fisherman? What would you do if you were the businessman? And why? The why is the most important question. The choices that we make in each moment direct the steps that we take in our lives. It is also true that the things that we say to ourselves and to others in passing each moment, and many times without harmful intent, can change the course of history, ours and theirs. How do we want to live the rest of our lives? If we could let go of and forget all the things that have constrained us from the past, all of those closed doors that haunt us, and be present to that small, still voice within, what would it say to us in this moment? What might those words of inspiration be? Here's something that I have been thinking about a lot lately. That happiness and satisfaction, and this may be obvious to many of you, but oh well. That happiness and satisfaction and love come from within, right here. That there is nothing that I can buy. There is no one that I might invite into my life. There is no accomplishment or money to be made that will bring me peace. Peace I must create within me. Once I have a sense of peace within me, I can then share that peace with you. And if you accept this vulnerable gift, this most delicate prize, for its sheer simplicity, and you nurture it within you, maybe you might just be able to pass it on to someone else. Maybe you already are bringing that light of inner peace to the world in the things that you do every single day. Rilke, the hour is striking so close above me, so clear and sharp that all my senses ring with it. I feel it now. There's a power in me to grasp and give shape to my world. I know that nothing has ever been real without my beholding it. All becoming has needed me. My looking ripens things, and they come forward toward me to meet and be met. That is not out here, my friends. That is right here. As we intentionally began again in 2015, I ask each one of you to consider this crossroads seriously, to consider our moral compass and how we might slow that spin down. I would ask us to begin again by forgiving and loving ourselves above all else. And in this act of self-care, we may just be free enough to let go, forgive, and love others. And in this simple and not so simple deed, we might find a sense of genuine peace, loving, forgiving, letting go. As we move into the rest of today, the rest of our week, month, and year, may the words and feelings that we share with ourself be kind and nurturing, and may we find the courage to hope, to dream big, with abandon, and share our loving kindness with one another. For this we pray. Blessed be. Amen.